Welcome to the Teaching Space podcast, coming to you from Guernsey in the Channel Islands. Hello and welcome to episode 110 of the Teaching Space podcast. It's Martine here. Thank you so much for joining me. Today's episode is titled 12 Tips for Preparing to Study a Master's Degree in Your Spare Time. Now, I'm very much aware that the vast majority of people listening to this episode might not be studying for a master's degree in their spare time. Actually, it's me who's studying for a master's degree in my spare time. You might be thinking, that's a very niche episode, Martine. Well, I've been mulling this over, and quite a few people have spoken to me about the fact that they are undertaking significant CPD at the moment. It might not be a master's, it might be something else. And also, the things that I'm going to share in today's episode can actually be applied to any large project, or at least certainly some of the things that I'm going to share today from a planning perspective can apply to any big project. So even though the topic of today's episode is quite niche, I thought I'd go for it. I really hope that the 12 tips that I'm going to share are of some use to you. This episode is actually one of two. My next episode of the podcast is going to be about my study toolkit. I know you all love a toolkit episode, so I'm drawing back the curtain and I'm sharing the tools I'm using to do my master's study. So that'll be episode 111 coming up in a few weeks' time. You might recall this isn't my first episode about being a student and studying towards a master's degree. Episode 80 of the podcast, that's theteachingspace.com/80 on being a student again, was recorded as I was starting year one of my Master's in Education, Leadership and Management. I'm doing that with the Open University, by the way, and I will put a link in the show notes to the exact qualification that I'm working towards. So episode 80 was recorded at the very beginning of year one, if I remember correctly. Back in October 2020, I started year two, and I took the opportunity to make a few notes on the steps I went through in order to get prepared for year two. And really, that's what this episode is all about. The main benefit of recording this episode in year two is that, of course, I've got my experience of year one to reflect upon, and I'm definitely approaching things slightly differently this year as opposed to my first year. Partly in the toolkit that I'm using, as I said, I'll be sharing that in the next episode, but also in my approach to study, and that's what I'm going to dig into in a moment. Here we go. I have 12 tips for you. Let's get started with tip number one. Refresh your study skills, your academic writing, reading, etc. If you are starting an academic qualification like a master's or a PhD and you are feeling a little bit rusty, then this is a really good idea. You don't have to do it alone. Can you get support? For example, if you work in a college or a school or a university, can you access your librarian? I am really fortunate in that I share an office with my librarian, so she has been a wealth of information and support. It looks like I might have to write an extended literature review for year two of my master's, and rest assured, I will be talking to my librarian for some help in this area. I mentioned that I'm studying with the Open University, and I was lucky that over the summer break, they had a reading series that related to the area that I'm focusing on, so leadership and management in education. And as such, I kept reading over summer. I didn't do loads. I can't lie. I did have a very restful summer, I'm pleased to report. But I also did some reading and it was useful just to keep my hand in. So I really recommend you refresh your study skills as needed. Tip two, use your calendar or wall planner. As you know, I use Google Calendar, but anything goes. Add your key dates to your calendar. So that's dates or deadlines for assignments, the dates of your units, when they start, when they finish, and any tutorial events that are happening. This is the first thing that I do. If you can just visualize Google Calendar for a moment, I actually put in the units of my qualification as all-day events so I can get a really nice visual of where I'm supposed to be at which point in the year. I find this really helpful. I actually have a separate Google Calendar set up for anything related to Open University study. So what this means is I can overlay it on top of my regular Google Calendar, and anything OU related shows up in a different color. So that's really helpful in terms of seeing what's coming up. Tip number three also relates to planning. Are you entitled to any study days? I'm super lucky at my college in that they're very supportive of my master's study, and I am entitled to apply for a certain number of study days per year. You might be listening to this thinking, Martine, there is no chance I'm entitled to any study days, but have you asked? I really recommend you ask the question, because what have you got to lose? If you don't ask, you don't get. If you are entitled to take some study days, then please take them. I recommend you book them at the start of the year. I know for some people, me telling you that now isn't great timing, but book them as soon as you can and allow a bit of flexibility. You might be thinking, well, how do I know when I'm going to need them? Well, for me, I have to do four major assignments across the year, so I know when they're due. And I'd like to think I'll be working towards them a good fortnight or so before, so it's handy to book the study day roughly at that time. It might not work out that you've booked your study day at the right time, however, if there's flexibility, then that's great. Also, by booking them well in advance, you will put that in your own calendar, leave it clear, and you've got more chance of squeezing in a full day for study then. On to number four. In the same way that I basically put everything in my calendar, my units, my deadlines, that sort of thing, my study days, I also time block the time that I'm going to dedicate to doing the actual study. And I try and plan this in my calendar in line with when I'm feeling most energetic and when I'm most available. For example, I work an evening shift on a Tuesday night, which means I have a full Tuesday morning off. So that is a decent block of time where I've got plenty of energy that I can focus on studying. That's a good sort of 4 hours or so. While last year I tried to do an hour or so in the morning to free up some of my weekend time, I've changed that a little bit this year because I'm trying to do a bit of exercise in the mornings to complement everything else. So I generally can't squeeze in study and exercise. What I've been doing more of is doing a little bit in the evening, study-wise, and also using a little bit more of my weekend, which I'm okay with. As with everything, build in some flexibility because life happens. Tip five is start early. My syllabus was released a good few weeks before we were actually expected to start studying, so I started straight away, and at the time of recording, I'm still ahead, and that feels really good. It's important to build up a bit of a buffer because, as I mentioned just a moment ago, life happens. There may be a weekend where you have to deal with a family event or something like that, or heaven forbid, you get sick. Start early, get ahead, build a buffer where possible. It's time for a quick ad break. I'm a huge fan of audiobooks from Audible, and I want to share the love. Grab yourself a 30-day Audible trial and free audiobook at theteachingspace.com/audible. Tip six, decide on your toolkit. Which tools are you going to use to take notes, write up any tasks, do your assignments, manage your academic reading, etc., etc.? As you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, I'm a techie girl, so I take a lot of tech options here. But that doesn't mean it's the only way to work. If you are somebody who likes to work analog, are you getting yourself a nice, beautiful notepad? Do you need a load of coloured pens? Treat yourself, make studying feel as wonderful as possible. Also give some consideration to where you are physically going to study. Do you have some space at home that you can carve out, or will you be using a library? Are you able to find some time at work to study? Just get your toolkit and your location for study very, very clear. The next episode of the podcast, episode 111, will explore my study toolkit, and I'm really excited to share that with you. If you are listening to this podcast way after the time it's been released, you'll find the toolkit episode at theteachingspace.com/111. Tip number 7 is all about support. Consider your support mechanisms. Who needs to know that you're studying or working on this large project? This is a really important one for me, actually, because there are situations where I need to say no to social invitations. It's not a no forever, it's just a no at the time that I'm studying. I don't want people to feel upset about the fact that I've had to do that. So if they know that I'm in the midst of the lead up to an assignment or something like that, it makes a lot more sense and nobody needs to get hurt or upset. Make sure you tell your closest family and friends that you are doing this massive academic undertaking. How are you going to get support from your peers? My tutor group with the Open University, both this year and last year, set up a WhatsApp group. And I have to say, certainly around assignment time, that group was very, very reassuring. I really recommend it. WhatsApp might not be the right tool for you, but certainly for this group of people, it worked really well. Can you reach out to a wider professional network to support you? Personally, I get a lot of value and support from being active on Twitter. Again, I realise it's not for everybody, but for me, it's been a great way to expand my learning, get ideas, ask questions, that sort of thing. Think about whether you can access any support in your work environment too. I mentioned my amazing librarian earlier, so that's a great source of support for me. But perhaps there are other activities and events going on that you can access through your work environment. There's been some talk at my college about starting Journal Club, which is a bit like a book club, but focused on academic journal articles. If you don't have one of those, could you maybe start one? Again, talk to your librarian. This would be a great thing to collaborate on. Tips 8 and 9 are quite Open University specific. However, I can see how they might apply to other contexts as well. So tip 8 is to record your personal and professional development throughout the time you spend studying. And at the Open University, we do this on a professional development plan, a PDP. It's an integral part of the process of studying for a master's with the OU. You can find lots of helpful templates for PDPs online. I make my PDP part of my reflective learning journal, and that's tip 9, keep a reflective learning journal. If you've taken a traditional route into teaching from a qualification perspective, or perhaps if you work in a health education environment, you will be very familiar with the idea of a reflective learning journal. Mine is kept digitally, as you can imagine, and I'll tell you about how I keep it in episode 111. I actually put all of my notes in my reflective learning journal. Even if they're not terribly reflective, I just have everything all in the same place. Any form of study notes, any reflections, it's all in the same place. And again, I'll explain that more in the next episode. When it comes to writing assignments, I am regularly diving into my reflective learning journal and using things I've already written. So ultimately, it saves me a lot of time. Tip number 10 is definitely related to the reflective learning journal, and that is log absolutely everything you read. I try to create a log that looks a bit like an annotated bibliography. Everything goes in there though, whether it's a chapter of a book, to a whole book, to a PDF of a journal article, to a magazine article. Even when I listen to podcasts, I log everything that I read, and I create a citation and a bibliography reference, and I have it all in one place. Obviously, doing a master's, I read a lot of journal articles, and when I do that, I save the original journal article, the PDF version, and the annotated version as well, so I can see a clean copy and I can see the copy with my notes as well. I will delve into that in the next episode in more detail. Tip number 11 relates a little bit to an earlier tip where I was talking about getting support, but this one's super specific, and it is get a study buddy to help you stay accountable. One person. It's great to have a wider network, but ultimately one person can be super helpful when it comes to staying accountable. I mentioned this in episode 80 of the podcast when I talked about being a student again. That's theteachingspace.com/8080. My study buddy last year was a colleague who was also working towards a master's in education. She's doing a different pathway to me, but we're still doing a very similar sort of thing, and she's with the Open University as well, so the setup is the same. Just having an occasional meeting with her and just sharing frustrations and whether we were ahead or whether we were behind just honestly really kept me sane over the past year or so. And I'm happy to say we are taking a very similar approach again this year. Of course, your study buddy doesn't have to work in the same environment as you. They don't even have to be doing the same qualification as you. It's just about accountability and support. Finally, tip number 12, again, I touched on this in episode 80, is to set yourself goals. Log them in your PDP, your professional development plan. Share them with your study buddy. Stay accountable with that person. With my study buddy last year, we actually had a WhatsApp group or channel, I can't think what you actually call it, set up where we just logged our goals on WhatsApp because we always have our phones with us. It was super easy. I always copied them across to my professional development plan as well, but having a place just to log things in the moment was really useful, and WhatsApp was great for that. You could also log your goals in a voice note on your phone or in the native notes app on your phone. Both are very useful ways to keep a log of what you're promising to commit to. And there you have it. Those are my 12 tips for preparing to study a master's degree in your spare time. I hope that's been helpful. I know there was quite a study angle to those tips. However, I think many of them can be useful if you're preparing for a large project, for example, the planning aspects and also the toolkit element. If you are working towards a large project like this and you want a group of people to help you stay accountable, then I highly recommend you join the Teaching Space community. Hop over to community.theteachingspace.com and ask to join. It would be great to see you in there. Okay, I think that's it from me today. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope it was useful. And I hope you'll tune in to the next episode where we explore my study toolkit. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to the Teaching Space podcast. You can find the show notes for this episode at theteachingspace.com.